Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Isaiah Pierce, and this is Total Sovereign Grace Ministries. The title of our message today, The Roman Road of Damnation, The Vatican's Crusade Against the Truth. Many of you might know someone who's a Roman Catholic, know someone who's entrenched in this doctrine that they have, but today we're going to go through a little bit of history, we're going to go through what they believe, and then we're going to go through a little bit of eschatology, and I'm going to give you my opinion on where this plays into eschatology. Now, throughout history, we have heard of the splendid infrastructure of the Roman Empire. You see these precisely built colosseums that you can still see the remains of them to this day. You see the unique housing and amenities that they had. You see these enduring roads of the Roman Empire. These roads still last till this day, which really makes me wonder where American engineers are going wrong. But no, these roads in the area of Europe last till this day. And with Rome being the central location of where they lead to, the saying was developed, all roads lead to Rome. Meaning all the roads in the Roman Empire would take you to that capital city of Rome, the power base of the military superpower of the Roman Empire. The metaphorical Roman road still exists to this day, and that leads to damnation. It is the Roman road of damnation, the Roman Catholic Church. First off, the Roman Catholic Church says that salvation can't be found outside of the Roman Catholic Church, meaning you cannot be redeemed or saved unless you have partaken in all of their traditions and ceremonies. But try telling that to the thief on the cross who knew nothing more than that Jesus was Lord. The Roman Catholic Church has from its very inception brought in damnable heresies. So I want us to take a look at the Vatican's war against the truth, the Vatican's crusade against the truth. The Roman Catholic Church says that salvation cannot be found outside of the Catholic Church, as I stated earlier. But my friends, it is the opposite. Anyone who believes the teachings that emerge out of Rome, they are deceived, they are lost. The Roman Catholic Church prays to Mary as an intercessor, as a mediator between God and man. They have their dedications and prayers to Mary that say, Hail Mary, full of grace. 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us this, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The monarch of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is it. Praying to a queen of heaven is not a new concept. Jeremiah 7:18 tells us, The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. See, the queen of heaven is not a new concept. To make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. That's what they were doing in the book of Jeremiah. Here we see in Jeremiah that it is pure idolatry, man-made. We know idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. He will not share his glory with any man or woman. He is above all. History records the first Queen of Heaven as a woman named Semiramis. Semiramis called herself the Queen of Heaven and had a son who she said was God. She said that he was divine and his name was Tammuz. We know that Satan is a great imitator, and he seeks to imitate God in all fashions with his evil and wicked spin on things. The symbol of this religion of Semiramis and Tammuz, her son, was a woman holding a baby. That same depiction to this day has infected the world, and names have simply been changed from Semiramis and Tammuz to Mary and Jesus. The Roman Road of Damnation tells us that sins can be absolved and forgiven by confessing them to a priest. The priest then forgives or absolves you of your sins. Even the unbelieving Jews knew that this was nonsense. Jesus is speaking here in Luke 7. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Mark 2:7 tells us this, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? See, the Jews, even though they were unbelieving, they still knew that only God could forgive sins. What they didn't know is that Jesus was God. Listen to me. There exists only one who can forgive sins. It is not your priest. It is not your preacher. It is not Mary. It is not the Pope. It is Jesus Christ. And through His blood atonement. The Catholics call their priest Father. The Word of God says in Matthew 23, verses 9 through 11 this, And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your Master, even Christ, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. We're starting to see a pattern here. Every time the Word of God says, Do not do this, don't do it, The Roman Catholic Church throughout history has come up and implanted a heretical doctrine that does the opposite of the commands of God. The Catholic Church states that Peter is the head and founder of the church. Let me tell you, that is a lie from the pits of hell. Jesus said, upon this rock, speaking of himself, shall I build my church. That same rock is referred to in the book of Ephesians as the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Upon this rock will I build my church. The rock on which the church was founded was the truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is that rock. As a matter of fact, Jesus, 6 verses later, said this to Peter. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, why would Christ found his church on someone and then call them Satan 6 verses later? The book of Ephesians tells us who the head of the church is, and it was not a sinful man like any of us. That includes Peter. Read with me in Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Then we come on to the subject of the Pope, who according to the Catholic doctrine is the mouth of God, who is the representative of God on earth. The doctrine of papal infallibility held by the Catholic Church. That states that whatever the Pope says is as if God was saying it himself. But the word of God is final. Add not unto his words. The Pope holds these titles, Holy Father, Vicar of the Son of God, Supreme Pontiff. There is only one Holy Father. There is only one representative of God on earth. There is only one Supreme Sovereign over all, and it is not a man living in the Vatican. The Catholic Church teaches salvation is achieved and maintained by works and faith, not faith alone, but by faith and works. And we know that the Word of God says that if it is of grace, then it is not of works, because if it has an ounce of works involved in it, it is no longer grace. That's a paraphrase, but if you're trusting 1 ounce of your works, 1 ounce of your piety, or 1 ounce of your self-proclaimed righteousness, you will die and you will not wake up in heaven. You will not wake up in the Catholic fantasy of purgatory. You will wake up and spend an eternity in hell because you trusted in your depraved, wicked soul and filthy rags of self-righteousness to save yourself. The Word of God says, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. When you die, you go to either one of two places. Daniel 12 says, some to everlasting shame and contempt, that would be hell. And some to everlasting life, that would be in heaven. And that's a paraphrase, but I'm very careful about what I paraphrase, but you can go and look at Daniel 12 yourself. Revelation 20 tells us that whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was thrown where? Were they thrown into purgatory? No, it really outlines that there's two places. It says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Makes it very simple. If your name's written in the book of life, you live with Christ for all eternity in heaven. And if your name's not in the book of life, you're thrown into the lake of fire. There is no in-between there. The Roman Catholic Church perverted the Lord's Supper, the communion that we as believers partake in. They call it Mass. Hebrews 7 says that Christ was a sacrifice once. Once, read with me, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Then we look at Hebrews 9. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? See, Christ was offered once for all the sins of his people. The common theme here is that the sacrifice of Christ Jesus was made once. And that one time was sufficient for all the sins for all of his people. Why is this important? How does it relate to the Catholic Mass heresy? The Mass teaches that when you partake in the Mass, you drink the wine, you eat the bread, that bread turns into the real flesh of Christ, and that wine turns into his real blood. This is heresy. It is a re-crucifixion of Christ. But it tells you in Hebrews that he died once. To be simple, Mass is witchcraft. Mass is a ritual. Christ was crucified once, he was sacrificed once, and in that sacrifice it was all sufficient to take away sin. As a matter of fact, the book of Hebrews stresses that priests coming to an altar and sacrificing cannot take away any sin. And we see the Mass as a re-crucifixion of Christ over and over and over again. Now, I wish I could really continue to go on about every single heresy with you, but we might have to go on for a few days in order to do that. But I want us to look forward into the future. We've looked at the historical origin of Semiramis, the Queen of Heaven. We saw in Scripture people were worshiping a Queen of Heaven. We see that in present day also with the Catholic Church with Mary. So what does the future say of the Catholic Church? Now, this is my belief, and this is eschatology, and this is where we get into a lot of debate. But this is my belief, and I want you to take it for what it is. I believe that the Catholic Church will be a large assistant to the coming Antichrist. Now, why do I say that? The book of Revelation tells us about a woman who rides the beast, a woman that rides the end-time government of the Antichrist, that is in partnership with his government. Revelation 17 describes this woman as a harlot. The Word of God often in symbolism uses women to describe a religious system. So the believers of Christ Jesus are called the Bride of Christ, presented as a chaste virgin. So it makes sense to me that the false version of this bride would be the harlot, a whore. Read with me in Revelation 17. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Now remember those two colors. We're going to continue. And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Underline that also. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. So let's look over this scripture real quick. There's a woman sitting on a beast. There's a woman sitting on top of a government. The way I look at that is, based on symbolism, is that you see a religious system in partnership with a government. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Now, what's interesting is that purple and scarlet are the two primary colors of the Catholic Church. The cardinals wear scarlet, and the bishops wear purple. We're going to continue. And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. We know that the Vatican has an immense amount of wealth. It says, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, throughout history, we know the Catholic Church has burned men at the stake for translating the Word of God into English or to a common language that common people could read. They've killed anybody who've objected to their heresies of baptizing babies or to worshiping Mary. All throughout the ages, from Crusades to Inquisitions, the Catholic Church have killed believers who disagreed with their heretical doctrines. And then we see this. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. There are not many organizations that fit this bill. Purple, scarlet, drunken with the blood of the saints. But then we see this specific detail sitting on seven mountains. Rome is called the city of seven hills, and Rome is where the Vatican is located. So I believe very much that the Catholic Church will be Mystery Babylon. That is Mystery Babylon. So my question to you today is, are you traveling down the Roman road of damnation? Are you assisting the Vatican in its crusade against the truth? Or are you a saint of Christ Jesus who will worship Him and Him alone? We ask the Lord to bless the reading of His Word today. Thank you and God bless you.